page Kufyud Gimel. Kufyud Gimel. Achshos Afeichim. We were talking last week about how the Chassidim would use a little bit of drinking as a means of being ma'orer the hergeshim. But of course, the much more important way of doing that, and the safer way of doing that, and the deeper way of doing that is with Nagina, with singing. And that's what the Rebbe is going to talk about now for a bit. The meaning of Nagina, of song. So on page Kuf Yud Gimel, the second paragraph, Gam Ha'is Oyrish Aydeh Nagina. Gam Ha'is Oyrish Aydeh Nagina Shamarim Kolkach Boach Hasidim Hi Ke'enze. This Oyrish through singing, that Chassidim are marbim kol kach, that they engage in a lot of singing. There's a lot of singing by the Chassidim. This is also for this purpose. Olam hanigin gavoyim ma'od. The world of Nagina, the Olam hanigin is very, very high, is very great, very exalted. Avolon hapshutim rak b'ha'avoyd hapshuta tzrichim. But we're not talking about the Olam HaNigun, what that is. It's a very, very great Inyan. But for simple people, there's an Avoida Pshuta that we need when it comes to Nagina. La'ayin, la'das, la'avoid. Va'deizeh gam ha'gadlus shalom imorim, gam b'lei ha'sagoseinu timoshech lanu. If we work on Nagina, on singing, so then, even though we don't understand it originally, we don't understand it really what the Olam HaNagina is, we feel a certain Hesiris to Nagina, as we'll see in a minute. But if we use Nagina in the right way, even though we're not masig how it works and what the Olam HaNagina is, nevertheless we're able to draw upon ourselves from that world that's called the Olam HaNagina, the Heichal HaNagina. It's known Shemayim, there's a very, very high place. There's a very high madrega that's the Heichal HaNagina, the place of song. And even though we don't understand what that means, but through Nagina we're able to draw that upon ourselves, the Olam HaNagina. Yisa B'Sefer HaKadosh Beis Aaron. It says in the Beis Aaron, Al HaPosik Toshuri Merei Shamanu, but it says in Shir Shirim, Tashuri Mirei Shamanu, which literally means to see. Tashuri is a lotion of seeing, of gazing, like it says in Parshas Balak, Ashurenu v'lei korov, Ashurenu v'lei ato. Ashurenu means to see, Alei Shur means to gaze at something, to look at something. Mirei Shamanu, Tashuri Mirei Shamanu, to see, to look, to gaze upon from the top of Amana, which the simple pshat is that it's talking about a mountaintop Amana. But the tzaddikim, the Beis Aaron explains that Tashuri is hinting to a lotion of shir, of singing. And Meiresh Amana, Amana is a lotion of Amuna, which means Meiresh Amana from the highest, the through song, Tashuri. Through singing, a person can come to the highest dargis, to the highest dargis of emuna. Tashu merei shamana, and he says over there, the gresht emuna, fifle yid adn zingin deroish derfim, ad kan loshen hakadosh, which is hanagin hi roish emuna, that the highest and greatest, the gresht emuna, the greatest emuna that a person can come to, is through tashuri, meroish amana. The Rosh of Amunah, the highest Amunah, a person can reach through Tashuri, through singing, through song. Al Yikshalucha, so you might want to ask a kasha. Halayroyim anu chazonu menagnim gedolim shalibam rochik mi Hashem. We see that there are famous, a great chazonim, a menagnim, malanagina, people that sing. Shalibam rochek mi Hashem, that their hearts are very far away from Hashem as well. Ein emuna ve'ein lev rachmanus lan. That these are valenegina, these are people who sing, people without faith and without any heart. They just sing. That's what they do. That's, they're good at it. It's their profession. But ein emuna ve'ein lev rachmanus lan. Except in those days they didn't have CDs, I guess. Va'afilu ben ha'akum yesh menagnim. And you see that there are beautiful menagnim even among the akum. Even by the goyim, they have koyach of their people, with a big koyach in the gina. Mibnei she'anigin hurak min gilui ha'nefesh v'agash ha'seha. So the Rebbe says that a nigun, to sing a song, is a way of being megala the nefesh. It's a way of opening up one's soul and the feelings that are within the soul. Avala ein oid hachreya mayasa ish b'shosh misragish. But that has nothing to do with what does an individual do once his heart is open. That all depends on what kind of a person he is. In other words, you could have, forget about stam, a guy that's ein emuna ve'ein lev, a person without any heart, that he's stam, you know, singing for entertainment or he's just putting on a show. But even you know, you'll see there could be, you know, people that are goyim, whatever it is, they're singing negun, and they're singing songs and they're getting very emotional and they're very sincere about it and they're crying and the whole oilam there is getting into it and closing their eyes and singing a song. So the Rebbe says, it's true. Through Negina, a person is able to open his heart. But there's no hechreya mayasa ish b'shosh misragish. But it has no bearing upon, it doesn't have anything to do, no shaychis, to what does the person do with these feelings. Mayasa ish b'shosh misragish, or mayifal b'chelek nafshu shehizgalim. When we're talking about a Jew, a chazan or menagin. So when the person's heart is opened, we don't know mayasi, what's he going to do? And mayifal b'chelik nafshish. So now that there's a chelik of his nefesh, now that there's a part of his soul that has been bared, so now what's going to be? U'kamoy she'yeshnam shnei anashim smeichim. Just like you see, there are two people, you could have two people that are happy, and simcha, of course, means also that the nefesh, simcha, when there's a happiness and a person feels happy, it means that the person's nefesh is also open. The heart is also open when a person's besimcha. But he says, the fact is you have two people who are happy, one person, the simcha that he has leads him to more avodas Hashem, to do something in avodas Hashem, and the second guy, his simcha can leads him to all kinds of hailus, to God forbid, to doing all kinds of crazy things. They both began with a nefesh gluya. So they both began with the nefesh being exposed, with opening up the heart. The shaila is, what do you do with that? So one fellow goes and he's over to Hashem with the simcha, and the other is ever simcha, so is mishaila. The other one with the simcha is mishaila. He gets into mischief. So the Rebbe says, Kain gam hanigin. It's the same thing when it comes to a nigin. It's a very dangerous thing. Music is very, very powerful. Very powerful, very dangerous. It could be used in a very wonderful way, in a very positive way, and it could be very dangerous. Because a nigin is one of the keys to opening up the soul. The nigin is echab min mafteches ha'nefesh, shema oivir oisa, that awakens, that arouses the nefesh, ves hagashay seha, and its feelings, its emotions. So you could have a person who opens up a a part of his nefesh, a chilek mimeni yaitza lachutz, and part of his nefesh now is able to emerge. Not only does he not use it for davening, for learning, for mitzvahs, for tshuva, not only that, but he's paigim in the chelik of his nefesh. God forbid he could be used. It could be used in a negative way, in a destructive way. It could be paigim in chelik nafshizeh. In besimcha shel hailulus. It could be with the niggin. The niggin is a niggin of simcha, right? So because of that, his nefesh, his soul is opened up and he has strong hagoshes of simcha. So the person who hasn't worked on himself, who's not an Ovid Hashem, so this opening of the nefesh that takes place through Nagina can lead to a simcha shel hailulus. It can lead to all types of unbecoming partying and celebrating and so on. Or if it's a nigun that breaks the heart, a nigun of dveikus, which should bring a person closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and it's so powerful to bring a person closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom, but it could lead to something else. A b'shvirus aleiv, if it's a nigun that breaks the heart, it could cause God forbid atzvas v'yeish. He could hear, listen to music like a lot of the marishchar people, the bala marishchar, the people who are depressed, they listen to depressing music. They listen to depressing music, and it brings them, God forbid, into sadness, into yeish, into despair, into depression. So the niggun of simcha is a very powerful tool to open the nefesh up to that emotion of simcha, and a niggun of dveikus is a very powerful tool to open up the nefesh to dveikus b'Hashem. But either of them only means that it's not determined that that's going to lead to a true simcha in avodas Hashem or a true dveikus in avodas Hashem or a meriras of tshuva. It could lead, God forbid, to terrible things, to all kinds of avodas. There's a saying by the tzaddikim that caught on. That's by the tzaddikim didn't make the saying, but there's a saying by Jews that a chazan is a nar. They say a halbinar. A nar means a fool. Chazanim and naronim. That's what they said in Europe. Chazanim and naronim. They used to say halbinar. My father said they said a half a fool, because the other half is the people who sit there all day listening to. But they say chazanim and naronim. Why chazanim and naronim? That's a saying that goes back a long time. Chazanim are fools. Chazanim and naronim. So the tzaddikim, they say from the mothers and other tzaddikim, just the mothers of Rebbe Shnifta, I'm sure many of you know this week, they say from the tzaddikim that the reason that a chazan is called a nar, because a fool is because the hechel of tshuva and the hechel of negina in shemayim, the chamber of song and that chamber of tshuva, of returning to Hashem's Baruch, they're connected to each other. They're right next door to each other, those two chambers. And the chazan is called the fool because he already knows how to sing and he couldn't do tshuva. It's right next door. As they're connected to each other, Nagina and tshuva are two worlds that are right next to each other. So the tzaddikim said that he's called a nar, he's called a fool. You already know how to sing and you couldn't go next door and do tshuva. Instead you went off someplace else, because Nagina is a very powerful way of doing tshuva. Mitaych simcha, mitaych hisrakshas. So the chazanim and naronim, they're fools, because they don't use the koyach that they have of negina, which is so powerful. They don't use the koyach of negina to just step next door into the world of tshuva. And not only that, what the Rebbe is saying is that negina that opens up the soul for simcha or for shvius alev can lead to very destructive things, like halulus and atzvah, sadness, yeyush. Atcha neifel min b'tchayni v'manasai. So negunim that were composed by tzaddikim, and Nagunim of Dveik. It's not even talking about Nagunim of the Goyim, songs of the Goyim that are completely filled with the song, the ones who made the songs of Rishayim, and the songs are filled with all of their hilulus and all of their depression, and the songs are filled with feelings of suicide and madness and crazy. The songs that are completely filled with all of that Tumah Be'etzim, and those are what those songs are. But even if Lahavdil, we're talking about Nagunim from Tzaddikim that were composed through feelings of Dveikus and Simcha Shel Mitzvah. But when that Nigun is, when that Nigun passes through the lips of a person who is not doing tshuva, so then Adaraba, this song which is a song of Dveikus can pull the person further away. Even though it was originally a song of Dveikus, it could pull a person further away from Bitachon and from Amunah, from his trust in Hashem, from his belief in Hashem Isbarach. And he might end up doing things, God forbid, that nobody, that a person shouldn't do. Which is a dove you do with it. For people that with the music, that it could be a very, very, very dangerous thing. V'kevim shonu roitzim lahitzi es nafshaseinu lahamshila al gufeinu. Since the whole tachlis in our avodas Hashem, which he's teaching us in the way of the Baal Shem Tov, which is lahitzi es nafshaseinu, to draw out our nefesh, but for the purpose of lahamshila al gufeinu, that it should rule over the guf, not that it should get lost in the guf, you know, go to some Jewish concert and carry on over there and howl and screech and move like you're standing at, God forbid, like, you know, listening to a Goyisha concert, by a Goyisha concert. But the whole tachlis of the Nagina is to bring out the nefesh, so that the nefesh will be able to rule over the guf, over the body. And that the person should be able to get closer to Hashem as Baruch Hu, l'kashra b'kedushasai. L'kashra b'kedushasai. U'levat l'aysa. V'es atzmuseinu b'nishma shakai. To be mevatel all of our physical ritzaynis, all of our physical needs. To the nishma shakai, to the neshama, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tachlis, that's the whole tachlis of being megala our nefesh. In other words, not God forbid just stomp to be megala the nefesh. To megala the nefesh, you could become very, very depressed. Or you could become lost and hurtless in simcha, but a simcha that leads to tuma. Stomp to be megala the nefesh. It would be better that you remain calm and that you not have any hisrakshas. Because the whole tachlis of the hisrakshas is only that the nefesh should be strong enough and should be empowered to finally rule over the guf. But not that the nefesh should cooperate with the guf and intensify the guf. What's depression? Depression is from the guf. What's the hilulus? What's the craziness and tumah? Where is that? That's an intensification of the guf. So if the nefesh is going to be exposed, and by being exposed, it's going to intensify one's connection to the physical world, which is what the negina is in the Veldstam negina, then the negina, of course, becomes a tool of the sitracha of the other side. And one of the most powerful tools of the sitracha is the kercha negina. Because the whole tachlis of the hisrakshas is not to intensify one's connection to the physical world, but to overcome the physical world and to lift himself higher and higher, to be Dovak Bashem. Not that there should be more of an intense relationship with his body and with the physical world, which is what Nagina does when it's not Bekdusha B'Tahara. That's why the non-kosher, I'm not even talking about the Gershom music, but the vast majority of what the so-called Jewish music that's not kosher, that's not holy. So somebody will say, why do you talk so? Why do you make such a big deal about it? Isn't it? So it's better that they listen to that than listen to you know, something else, or that they do something else. But I don't agree with it. First, I mean, I don't think that's true. Better they should listen to the ball game or something, not to listen to music. Music is a very dangerous thing, and the unholy impure negunim that are coming out from Jewish people, even people of Shemesh Shabbos, and I'm not going to go into, you've heard me talk about it 1,000 times, and all the malbushim, and the way that it's packaged, and the way that it's sold, and the way that it's sung, and the way that even pure Jewish children are being used to promote this kind of music. I remember many years ago in the country, we were first married for a year or two, and there was some sort of a concert, and there was somebody where we were in the bungalow that had some tickets, and said to my wife and I, why don't you maybe go? So, you know, that's when I thought, it was that early time of marriage, I still thought maybe it'd be nice to make my wife happy and go or something like that. So I got over that. So we went to this place in the mountains, and they had these beautiful little yeshiva boys, these little children. They put on these sequin jackets with bow ties and top hats, and they were all carrying sticks. So I lasted, you could ask my wife, around 30 seconds, you know, at the concert, and I said, I'm getting out of here. Not this is what is this? These little yeshiva boys and some guy making money and sending these kids jumping around, making all kinds of silly movements. And I remember they were throwing the microphone. Then they had wires on the microphone. That's not so pushy. So they were throwing the microphone and this little kid that had like dancing and putting the microphone behind his back and passing it, singing words from Navi, from Shir Shirin, from Tehillim. There's only one saving. It's very hard to say limits on any of this. I'm not talking about the children. The children are tamimim, makadoshim. I'm talking about the people who are using them. But there's only one saving thing: is that most people don't think at all. So I think that most people, when they go to these things, it's not like they have a hisrakshus, and God forbid it's something which is. I don't think they have any hisrakshus at all. I don't see how anybody can be hisrakish from this idiotic music anyway. So I think it's just like fun. I think they're just having fun. I don't know. It's like bowling or something. Because if there was a hisrakshus from it, it could be very, very, very dangerous. It's not like anybody's going from those concerts, Chas Hashem, and doing aveiros or getting into it, because I don't think that anybody gets into it, because you have to be like a very, very, very... you'd have to be like almost not human to be able to get into such music or to have any hisrakshus from the music. And the shalos that they're psukim. So if a person is thinking about the psukim, I also don't believe that the people are going over to these things, to listening to these records, are going to have his amkus in the psukim, because that's why you see that these songs, 99% of the time, they're totally, totally out of sync with the psukim. It doesn't have to do with the pasuk. So they stole the nig and they heard something, and these musicians are listening yom v'layla to goyish music. That's what they do. They listen to Geisha music, and then they go into different things from the Geisha music, and they try to put it to a pasuk, and they don't. Since that most of them don't even know how to bother looking up the pasuk in the Mitzvot Dovid and Mitzvot, seeing what it means, or to read in the art scroll, what does the pasuk mean? They just like the words. They heard other musicians use those words, so they put this song that they heard from the Geisha, and they put it into this thing, and then they wrap it up. They all sound came out the same. All these things, and then it's out there and it's playing in the streets of Borough Park, and the next thing you know is that they became famous, and they have a concert and so on, and it's famous, whatever it means. They think that they're famous, and I don't think that anybody thinks about this. I hope nobody's thinking about any of these things when they go. I don't think that people think when they go, but it could be a dangerous thing when there's a hisrakshus, and the hisrakshus is. Could cause Chas Hashalom a hilus or a depression, and that's why you see that there's a whole profession that's called music therapy, right? There's a profession that I remember when I first heard about this was many years ago, and I thought, what do you mean? What kind of joke is that? But I see it's not. There's a profession where they use music in the Welt. They use music to try to help people that aren't feeling well and different things. It's a very powerful thing. Why? A person's not feeling well, so a person's, God forbid, sick. That means that the goof is, that the body is, that the body is, God forbid, is deteriorating. Something's wrong with the body, and we see that a niggun has the ability to bring out the nefesh, to bring out the nefesh. And when the nefesh is drawn out, then the nefesh can, there could be some sort of hisgabrus ala guf, that it could overcome the feelings of the body, that a person could forget his pain for a while. A person could, it's unbelievable what a negina can do. And lachas kama v'kama a million billion times when it comes to kedusha, that it's famous that the old Majus Rebbe, you know, that that not the Deviso, but Rav Shol Yedidya, that when he was being operated on, that he didn't that they couldn't give him any anesthesia, and they had to do something like a 4-hour, 5-hour operation, even longer. I don't remember what it was a whole long operation without any anesthesia. And during that time, he composed his Nigun El Ezker, which is not from this world. He took it from such a place, a long Nigun El Ezker. So the Nigun is when the nefesh is brought out. That the tzaddik is mevatel the guf completely. That there's a bitl of all of anything that's physical. So he doesn't feel a second of pain. Didn't feel anything when he was in that place of a nigun. That's how powerful it is. But there's no saying where a song is going to go. It depends upon the person whose nefesh is revealed. That's what the Rebbe said. You have two people that are besimcha. This person is a tzaddik, so his simcha leads him to avodas Hashem. The other one is far from a tzaddik. His simcha can lead him to all kinds of things that are not good. Therefore, we have to accustom ourselves to being careful how we use rina and nagina, singing. It should be used avod l'shamayim, not just for like background music and stuff like that. See, this is all part of what's happening now, that the music became something which is cheap. So it'll be. You know, it could be, you know, in a Jewish restaurant, in a Jewish barbershop, or in a Jewish store. So there's background music. I can understand it because a lot of times the workers, I've even remember years ago I asked in a place, they were blasting geisha music in a kosher supermarket. So I asked one of the fellows, like, what do you have to? This is a kosher place. You have all Shomer Shabbos people coming in here. What are you playing that music? So he said, it's for the workers. They can't work without it. They're not going to work. You can't get them like moving or something, unless you play the music. So now that already the Jewish music sounds the same as the Goyish music, I think it's okay. They could already play Nagunim in a lot of the places. There's no nafkumi. In other words, you can get the Goyim to clean the table even with a Jewish tape. That's a very sad thing. That. Supposed to only get Jews working, not going, but it works for everybody now. So the use of music as some of Jewish music for something that's not a Dovah Shabakdusha, but Stam for entertainment. That's a relatively new thing. It's true that by Chazanis there was such a thing. By the Chazanim that were not, there were Chazanim that were not tzaddikim, and there was people listening to Chazanis and just for entertainment. I think it's making a comeback now also. But stam negunim from the negina was by the chassidim. It was something which is always part of avodas Hashem. To be a person to get closer to Hashem wasn't stam, you know, to play while you're getting a cavity removed or something in the dentist. So now that you have such a thing that you see that negina is used the same way that it's used in the goyish welt, it's just a noise. It should be noise to fill the empty space, just to make noise. Or to your driving, astama, whatever it is, that it became very much lowered into the world of the goof. So he says, but we have to nagilas atzmeinu. We have to accustom ourselves and get used to using negina, rina negina shel avod l'shamayim as a way of serving Hashem Yisbarach. It's not a form of entertainment. It's not a way to entertain yourself, to keep yourself from thinking, to make noise. It's we have to nagilas atzmenu v'rina ginish shavayd l'shamayim leishin istarach l'char b'negunim chadoshim. Not that we have to create new negunim, we have to come up with new songs. K'mayshalay noyim ha'shemisha reitzel l'samech esatma b'yayin tzarech l'asuz yayin negitay davka. The same way, let's say somebody wants to have a little bit of simcha from a drink, from drinking something, so he doesn't have to come up with he doesn't have to have in his basement, you know, a distillery, and to make his own wine, to come up with a new wine, a new flavor of a wine. You take the same wine to bring you to a state of simcha. So you don't have to have a new niggin. It doesn't have to be a nunigan. That's another thing that I once told you, that I remember, that when I was a kid, there was a teacher that took a bunch of the boys that took us Simchas Beis HaShoeva. We went to the Stalin of Bismedrish. In Williamsburg then, we went to the Stalin of Bismedrish. And it was like, I was very inspired from the dancing, from the singing. It made a tremendous, tremendous reisham on me, what was going on over there. And the way the Chassidim Bechlal, they took us in, you know, we were very modern American kids, and the way the Chassidim took us in, they put us on their shoulders, and we were like, it was unbelievable we had over there. But what struck me was that they sang the same niggun. We were there for like 2 hours. It was one niggun for 2 hours. One niggun for 2 hours. For that, you don't even need an iPod, right? You know how the iPod, everybody says, well, iPod, now you just go from one niggun. It used to be you have to press a button forward, reverse, not anymore. Then it became the CD, then you just press it up. Now it's a whole thing with the iPod. But when we went there for a niggun, it was, when we went to Stalinabas, I remember it was for hours, the same niggun. And we were talking to the Rebbe when we were leaving. So he said, I remember we asked that don't they have any selection over here? What's, you know, a little bit something. There was one niggun. Which now, by the way, I remember that niggun. It became now popular again. Popular doesn't mean popular like in the street, but it became a niggun that it's an old Stalin niggun, it's a beautiful niggun. And I hadn't heard it in many years. And then recently I heard it at a chasna. I heard that niggun at a chasna. Not at a chasna, at a chasna. I heard that this must be that the niggun, I mean, they jazzed it up a little bit. It wasn't the way that I remember it 100%. They made it like, you know, with a little bit. But it's that niggun, it's a beautiful niggun. A very simcha niggun. And the Rebbe said that's how the Chassidim always sang, because he said that it's not for a show, it's not for entertainment where you constantly need change and variety. It's now if a person goes to a concert, first they have like some guy warm up the island. You know what they do? Like they send out like somebody that's trying to break into the multi-billion-dollar Jewish music industry, like as if that's what it is, and they try to break him in the latest, you know, this name, you know, some guy in Jewish music, and they put him out just to make hachanis to the olim, and everybody's sitting there like they say, come on, get him out of here, get him out, get this guy out of here. We're waiting for like the big name. And some guy singing his nebuch, he's singing his kishkas out, he's trying his best, you know. Yishakadim Nishikas Piyu Shalom Aleichem Alachet, he's trying whatever he could come up with, this guy, to make it into the Jewish music world. And everybody's saying, get him out of here. Get this guy out of here. We're waiting for the big nar, not the little nar. Right? So, it's all an inyan of a variety. You have to change it. You have to change it. It's a change. Every second a new niggun. Every second a new bal menagin. Changing. Right? but it was not like that. When the gina is an avoda l'shamayim, so the nagina is going over and over and over. Just like you see the. Like anybody who's been learning this from, a lot of you have been learning this from the Belvavi Mishkan Evne. So that there are certain swarm, there's swarm, that's regular swarm, all swarm are beautiful, but his swarm are like nigunim. He takes the point that he's making, and then and the way that he chazes it over, he sings it over and over and over again. And if you're not interested in becoming a better Jew and you learn the Sefer, so if you know, you could feel like skipping some pages and say, you know, we did this already. We did this already. And you don't understand why he's doing that. So what do you think? I can't Nachamal, but it's a niggun. And you have to learn it that way. Nachamal again and again and again. Because that's more pnimi, more, that's when it's Avodas Hashem. Doesn't have to be a new. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Doesn't have to be a new niggun. Doesn't have to constantly be changing the niggun. Could be to live with that niggun. You can live with that niggun for a week, for a month, for a year, whatever it is. That niggun. But this is so far nowadays from the way people are, and the way people think. That it has to, everything to change. It's the only thing that makes it interesting. It's because if it's not an avoda, an avoda is Hashem. And even now, even if it is an avoda, but it's, we're not used to that, to staying with something. If you zeichet to learn the Svarim of the Maharal, remember when I was many, many years ago, when I was a bach and I started to learn the Tiferes Yisrael from the Maharal. So those who are murgal in the Maharal Svarim know that the Maharal sounds like he repeats himself many times. He puts in like a different word here or there, a sentence that's different, but he could sometimes say over in Yonim, it sounds like it's two or three times the Maharal. And there's no question that the Maharal knew exactly what he was doing, and he wasn't writing it for weak people, weak-minded people, and he himself was the biggest genius on earth. There's Navaida. When you learn the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's Navaida. New Maharal, it's Navaida like a niggun that you have to sing it again and again. And when you learn it in that way, when you learn this, the Maharal, or you learn one of the other Svarim HaKadoshim in such a way, although there are tzaddikim that you see very little repetition or no repetition, but you learn the Maharal, they say that somebody was complaining to the Kotzke that the Maharal, you know, in Kotzke and Pshischa, they learn Maharal a lot, and somebody was complaining that the Maharal's going over. The Kotzke said, really, I didn't see anything extra. You know, the Kotzke didn't say a word that was extra. In Kotzke, there wasn't even a motion that was extra by the Kotzke. And he said, really, I didn't see one extra word. And whenever I learned the Maharal, I never saw an extra word. To us, that's all very, very foreign. So it's constantly had a new nigga and a new nigga and a new nigga. But he says, you don't have to get new wine. When Misha writes a la'iris atzmai, he says that to be ma'irah a person, he says to be ma'irah oneself, or to be ma'irah a person, when it comes to diburim, it's also like that. We'll talk about that more, but he says you feel that you have to say something different. You feel that you have to say something new. But really, really, with his chaskis and his sayers, it doesn't have to be that way. The next page. Kachlecha, the Rebbe says, Kachlecha, eze tenua shal nigen. He says, take a part of a nigen. A tenua of a nigen. A movement of a nigen. And tosev es panach el hakir. But don't sing it while you're on the Long Island Expressway. But tosev es panach el hakir. He says, turn your face to the wall. Go to the wall. Arak tizgur senecha. Or close your eyes. Betach shev shuv. And think. Sha'at oimid lefnei kisei hakavod. Think deeply how you're standing in front of Hashem's throne. And with a broken heart, you've come to pour out your heart to Hashem Zbach, b'shir of a nigen, with a song, with a nigen, hayoytzim mikerv libcha, that come from the depths of your heart. You'll feel your soul coming out with joy. In the beginning, you felt that you were working hard to sing a song in front of your nefesh. It's like your nefesh is sleeping, and you're trying to wake up your nefesh with a niggun. So, you in the beginning, you feel yourself. You're conscious of trying to wake yourself up with a niggun. That's in the beginning. But ma'at ma'at targish, but slowly targish, and nafshecha is chila kval nagin me'atzma. You feel that your soul begins to sing by itself. In the beginning, you're trying to wake up the nefesh, and you're the one that's singing the niggun. And it's like they're two separate things. There's the you, the conscious you, that's trying to awaken an emotion through a niggun. But the Rebbe says that if you have these thoughts, so that then slowly, slowly, slowly the niggun, the nefesh begins to sing on its own. And adarabah, it begins to wake you up. The nefesh begins to take over. Once the nefesh is awakened through the niggun, then naturally it's chilek v'al nagin me'atzma. That's why it doesn't have to be 50, you know, a medley of your favorite, you know, dveikus nagunim, a medley of your favorite Hasidic songs or whatever it might be, you know, changing from one thing to the next every second. The nefesh begins to sing on its own, and the nefesh doesn't need to have, you know, the greatest hits of. The nefesh doesn't need that. The nefesh is happy with it, because the nefesh just wants to. The nefesh just wants to be able to be dovek b'Hashem. It doesn't need to have all different things. So then ma'at you'll feel tagish and nafshcha is chilek v'alanagin me'atzma. You'll feel that the nefesh begins to sing on its own. Chida ha'isulacha tamid ha'negina. Negina was always a wonder to you. It was always a puzzle. Chida, it was always something which was hard to understand. Hakailois mahema. What are these sounds? What are the sounds? Aliyas the yiridus, the high notes and the low notes. Mahein, what are they? V'loma zepa, v'loma zepa amim shababa arucha, upamim shababa ktsara. Why is it sometimes this note is a longer one and this is a shorter one? Ata now kva ata rayas akol. You're able to see. B'kayla b'kaz lanafshcha derech ad lamarim. With the sound of the niggun, the nefesh is able to break through and to find a path all the way up to Shemayim. U'b'shamayim ki'ilu achzu oisa behem yosa m'shachua b'l'shayna. And in Shemayim, it's as if the nefesh was grabbed through this song and was drawn upwards. Liba me'eha v'chol p'nimiyusa. The heart, the kishkes, the whole p'nimiyus of the nefesh and neginosa yaitzim come out with the negina. The derech ha'kailais oilam, and with the sounds rise up. V'aliyaseha nefilaseha, with the rising sounds of the song, and nefilaseha, and with the descending sounds, notes of the song. V'chol gilgulei darka b'kaila nechkakim, and all of the gilgulei derech, all of the twists and turns that are in the sounds of the niggun, v'chol gigulei darka, the kaila and the sounds of the niggun nechkakim are engraved. The soul, utnua de minagna ba necherosim, the movements of the niggun are necherosim, also engraved. The hanigun nesrakim, and the niggun takes shape and takes form inside of you. As nafshecha noise hanigun b'meyav l'shavcha l'karvecha l'Hashem, the niggun takes you along. As nafshecha noise hanigun, the niggun takes your nefesh l'shavcha l'kar, to pour it out and to bring it closer to Hashem Zbarach. V'yesh l'farm shem b'negoscha b'lo yidiyoscha t'daber gam dibur l'fnehemokam. The Rebbe says sometimes it'll happen that you're in a niggun, and without even realizing it, you begin to speak to Hashem. Imit chlosam aydis v'tzayn guvcha yadiyo. In the beginning, you might just talk about something that of your body, meaning help. I need panos, or I need Yeshua, whatever it might be. Avo kol kamash et esragish. But the more you misragish, meaning the more excitement the nefesh feels. V'yoyset teitze nafshecha me'atika, and the more the nefesh comes out from its container, from its covering, lo'uf el'al, flying upwards, v'midazu taza v'sa'olam, slowly but surely the nefesh leaves the world. In the beginning, you might say things mitoch the neginah, you might say things about this world, that problems or things that you like little tefillas that you put into while you're singing the notes of the niggin. You begin to say these things, but the Rebbe says slowly, the nefesh takes leave of the world, and it rises higher. And from the depths of your heart, your soul cries out with a tefillah, pure tefillah, tefillah l'Hashem. Val yiktoinu be'einecha dibur mishatim adabras. The things that you say during those times shouldn't be small in your eyes. You shouldn't think it's nothing. Afilim heim divrei tefillah shleinemru b'sidur ha'tefillah. Even if they're not... Remember that most of the nigunim, the Rebbe was talking about nigunim without words. You have to keep that in mind. He wasn't talking about nigunim with words. They didn't really have, it was very, very rare that they were nigunim with words. The words were only coming as like spontaneously, that the words became connected to a nigun. Now, the chachila, you know, somebody sees a nice couple of words and he wants to make it a nice song. But by the Chassidim, as you all know, it was always Nagina, it was music, wasn't words. So the Rebbe says that the words that come into your mind to say, to attach to the Nagin, that the Nagin becomes connected to certain words. Don't worry, even if they're words that are not in the Siddur. They're not in the Siddur. Your own words. They're your own words, in whatever language, they're your own words. That's not from the Siddur. Kikigoyin elu machtsav anefeshe. All of these are expressions of the nefesh itself. All of these are expressions of the nefesh itself, in a very powerful way to lift up the nefesh. That's why you're not, when there's a niggin and you love the niggin, so. And the niggin has a kayach to help you, so you put your own words to the niggin, even though it could be that the Baal Menagin, I remember I once heard someone told me that Shlomo Kalibach, that he was davening for the Omid somewhere, and he sang Friday night, he sang L'Chadaydi to one of his nigunim. He had plenty to choose from, as you know, and he sang L'Chadaydi from one of his to one of his nagunim, and there was a yid that came over there and said Shlomo, that's not the L'Chadaydi doesn't go with that niggin, that's not the niggin for L'Chadaydi. There was another one of Shlomo's, you know, he has 1,000 nagunim, so he took another one from his head and he put it into L'Chadaydi. So this yid was annoyed because he said that's not like on the record, you know, that doesn't. So Shlomo Kalba said to him, he said, you know how you probably said it, you know, my dear, precious, holy, tzaddik friend, holy of holies, and he's crying and holding him, and he said, everybody's allowed to steal my nigunim. I'm not allowed to steal my own nigun. Everybody in the whole world steals my nigunim. I'm the only one that can't steal my own nigun. I use it for whatever I want. What do you mean? They tell him, I can't make l'chadaydi with that nigun. He was... You know, but if you hear the niggin, you hear a niggin, and there are words. It doesn't have to be the words that were originally put into that niggin. Let's say by the one who was the Baal Menagin. So the Baal Menagin, he was a person that he had for that pasuk that he wanted to put. Again, the chassidim was all just music. It wasn't words. So you put whatever words you wanted. Many of the nigunim now, the chassidish nigunim that we recognize as with words, those never started with words. That became much later. That somebody put the words, and other people said that's great, that goes good, and it caught on that it has those words. But it's not. That's not how it originally came to the world. The chassidish nigunim didn't come with words. They didn't come like that. So but there's a nigun. If you love the nigun, you know that. You remember there was just mentioning Shlomo. You know there was a nigun from Shlomo that. Higher and higher, Lord, get me higher. You know, so that niggin, it's an unbelievable niggin. I'm not going to sing it for you. but so Shlomo once was singing it to the, you know, he was singing higher, higher, Lord, get me higher. He was singing it to that. That's the most unbelievable nigun. But the words, you don't have to. Shlomo didn't just use it for the one time. He's saying so. Now then they start to say that was Lord get me home, because that he was when he originally sang that. That was in those days in San Francisco. You know, in the House of Love and Prayer, whatever it was. I think it was called. So he was singing. He was teaching the olim there of Nebuch of drug addicts. So and he was telling them that we can get high on the Rebbeinu Shlomo, right? We don't have to get high on this stuff. He's saying to the Chevra, we can get high on the Rebbeinu Shlomo, we can get high on Yiddishkeit, we can get high on learning. So he's saying, Lord, get me high. But if you take that same niggun, which I love the niggun, so many years ago, I was thinking to the words of, you know, for me, I was the Tzomel Chanashi, Kamal Chabasari, you know, in Tehillim, and you sing that niggun, whatever it is, the pasuk that you like, and you a pasuk that you feel connected to, and you put it to a niggun. So it has a tremendous koyach, and the Rebbe is saying you shouldn't take it lightly. He says those words of tefillah that you spontaneously put into a niggun, that there's a niggun that comes from an eilach yid, a niggun that comes from a tzaddik, and you put your words into that niggun, so then that those tefillahs are very, very powerful. That's what you're saying, they're engraved, they come mamish from the deepest part of who you are, as opposed to the ones that are prepackaged, prefabricated. That's why if you listen to the Jewish hip-hop, you really can't put your own words to it. Try. You can't put your own words to it. Let's say there's a nice part to it. You can't. It would feel very silly. You can't do it. You take one of the you know, the latest songs. You can't even put another... maybe you could put like some, you know, you could put a pasuk, you know, Ubiata Harambi Kibach or something like that. You could say take some other, you know, some pasuk, but not a pasuk of Dveikus. You can't really put a pasuk of Dveikus, you know, to these songs. It's you feel that it's so silly. If you take one of these things and you put it on, and then there's a pasuk in Tehillim or there's your own tefillah that you feel very strong about. It's very hard to try to put to any of these songs. It's not all of them. There's some people that there's this. There's a part of that's Gagandri, that's what they told me. I don't really know what's out there, but I heard this niggun about Rachel Imenu crying, you know, Mama Rachel, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. There's a Mama Rachel cried, it's a very...
Yeah, Rebbe heard it was on the...
Yeah, that's where I heard it.
When we saw the
video. Yeah, but I'm saying that someone told me that the first part of it is Gagandri from a Gaisha song, that the famous Gaisha song. But I don't know from where, it doesn't make a difference to me. The song, I that's where I heard it. And then my children, I told the children about the songs. They have it on the. It's on. That's I think maybe Shwaki. That's his name, right? That's Shwaki.
Right, there's a song.
Mama Rachel cried. I think that's the song. It's a very, very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful niggun. I don't know who wrote the niggun. I don't know where it comes from, but it's a very beautiful niggun. Yeah, Journeys.
Journeys, right? And then
A.B. Roddenberger.
I think so. And then the beginning of the other song, it starts the same way.
Oh yeah, no, because A.B. Roddenberger, he's a big koyach. He's a big koyach for many, many years. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing in this. Beautiful. There are things that, you know, it's mixed in different things. That depends. It depends where it's coming from and so on. But the Rebbe's saying is that. Is that you're not stuck in the words of that of the niggun? You're not stuck in those words, but sometimes you feel inside of you that it's a beautiful shidduch between the niggun and the words. Sometimes you see that it's a very beautiful shidduch between the niggun. Sometimes, if you take the niggun and the niggun is something which is very, very beautiful, and then you put your words to it. You see when those chassidish niggunim that didn't have any words, it was wide open for anybody. So you could put any words you wanted into it, because the tzaddikim that composed them as tnuas anefesh, as just alias niridus of the soul that everybody's talking about. So it's up to you. You put whatever words. You don't have to put any words. You put whatever words you want. But now that it comes all packaged with the words, so then it's very hard to think. You know, you get like into those words, and it becomes you identify that music with those words, with those lyrics, so it becomes very hard to separate them because you're so used to it. He had certain two or three different types. It's really two or three different nigunim, Reb Shlomo. There's not a large variety of nigunim. but how to use them and the tefillah, and he was a goyin like mamish, you know, with music in such a way. I asked somebody that's a big bucky in chazanis and in music about Shlomo Karlebach. So he said that there are really only, he told me there are really only two or three nagunim out of the thousand. There are two or three nagunim, but he said the man was so heartsick and he had such a chush to make a shidduch between tefillas and tehillim and a certain tenuas and nefesh, that was the chiddush. It's a big, very big chiddush. Masha Enikin, he said, for instance, in Majid's he said that they're unbelievable original things. In Majid's music, in Lubavitch, they're unbelievable. The Nagunim has tremendous originality. Majid's is like world-class music, the originality. He said that Shlom is not. That Shlom, the music of Reb Shlom was not anything unusual or special in terms of that chachma of Nagina. But the Sraksis and the Avoid and how it connected to Tfilis and so on, it was a chiddush. In Majid's and Lubavitch and there's a little bit in the visions, he said, and you see there's originality, tremendous originality in those Nagun. But in Babov there's also some, and there was the old Pittsburgh Rebbe had also, there were certain tzaddikim, the Koyach of Nagunim, but in Breslov there's also some Nagunim, unbelievable, and by all the tzaddikim, but from the tzaddikim, from the Balatani, from the Alter Rebbe, the Nagunim from the Alter Rebbe, there are 10 Nagunim from the Alter Rebbe, it's not from this world. I mean, it's the Alter Rebbe, for such a person to give us a Nagun, we have from Rabbi Nachman, we have a few Nagunim. The Tnuas, the Nigun of Rabbi Nachman, those two Nigun of the Alter Rebbe and Rabbi Nachman. So a lot of the Shabbos Miras, a lot of them are Majids, right? You don't even know. A lot of the things in Shul, there was Majids. So they put the words, Mizmiris, to Majids and Nagunim and so on, to old Chabad Nagunim, to Stalin and Nagunim, that they put. But all of this has a tremendous koyach that a person can stop and he's able to take put in his own words. You don't have to be stuck in the words that the Baal Menachem made for that nigun. You could use your own words. You can make your own words. Sometimes you don't say anything at the bottom of the page, and you don't have any bakashas to make. You don't ask for anything. You don't say anything during the nigun. You feel something you can't describe. You feel like a child that's crying out to his father. Not saying, anyway, it's a mumi avi. Not that he wants anything from his father. He's just screaming out, Father, Father, Father. Not that he's saying something specific, just, you're my father. You're my father. Like I once told you that I read in the Sefer that there was an old Williamsburg, there was an old Breslov Achaz, he was a famous Yid, that he couldn't, he said the whole Rosh Hashanah, he was in the shtibel trying to get himself, he couldn't get a feeling for davening. And he's trying to concentrate. And at some point he realized that his little child, his boy, was pulling at his coat and was saying, Tati, Tati, Tati. And he asked him, what do you want? And the little kid just said, Tati, Tati. And then he realized that he doesn't want anything. He just wants to hold me and say, you're my father. So he said he started, and he himself, he started to just say, Tati, Tati, Ovi, 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 Ovi. And he said, he left the world, I'm sure that. Because he's not asking for something, he's just saying, Avi, my father. Ha'av shoyal ma'ata roitza b'ni. The father says, what do you want, my child? Klum humishi, doesn't know what. V'shuv ha'ime umesanech Avi Avi. Doesn't ask for anything. This is my father. Ki b'in yadach yizgal z'nefesh yishhavi pam l'umad m'na yelad. There are many things he said you could learn from a child. How the nefesh works. Kol ma'isev enim b'kavana. Because a child doesn't, it's not contrived, it's not made up, it's not cheshbened out. A kid doesn't have make a cheshbend. This sounds like this is like that. He just is who he is. So you can learn from a child. Rak me'atzma nafshim izgala b'yifanim shanim. Because a kid's nefesh comes out by itself. He just does what he feels. V'gam chitu yizu, this calling out, this kvetching, this type of calling out, is stapchus nafshim on nefesh ovi. It's just the pouring of the child's soul to his father. Sometimes when you sing your niggun, you could feel this also. You'd have to have words. Don't ask for anything. Just says, my father. Alright, it's late. We'll stop here. Bez Hashem, we'll continue. Mitzvah Hashem after the summer. The last year before the summer, we'll continue. Bez Hashem, it's a good time to chazan, to try to put into use, not just talking about, but feeling and thinking about these things. Shkai.